Good morning. I'm Dina Passman from ASPR. And I just was giggling on the way up here because my group actually thinks that SASE BI was the somewhat cheap solution to solving our problem. My organization has certain sensitivities about using open source. They're a little, or open coding, old-fashioned. I mean, I would love to use, I think my whole group would love to use that approach, but unfortunately we're not that far along in convincing our leadership. So instead, I'm going to talk about sort of how we got to where we are with our analytics. So feel free to ask any questions as we go along the way. And anything else I need to tell you? Here we go. So our objectives today are pretty simple. I just want to talk to you about what we were looking to do with our EBI system and how we wanted to use it for preparedness and response, which is different than a lot of the applications for EBIs. I want to tell you about what kind of capabilities we know that the system is capable of, what we were able to use, how far along we are, and talk about what our, you know, next steps may be. So a little background. Like I said, I work for the Office of the Secretary for Preparedness and Response. We sit inside of the Office of the Secretary in Washington at HHS, and our job is to coordinate the ESF-8 of activities, which are public health and medical response to emergencies. That doesn't just cover emergencies. It also covers planned events, such as the presidential inauguration, July 4th, cherry blossom. We stand on call during the Super Bowl and other events of national significance. And my group, the Fusion Cell, which is just a few years old, is supposed to be the think tank, in a sense, of our operations office. And our job is the small one of doing information and data analysis for decision support. So whenever we have an emergency, my group stands up as part of the emergency management group. We sit in a big op center, and we do our thing. So how do we get thinking about using EBI? Because, I think it was a thought that was always in my supervisor's mind that we would have some master platform that would help us do everything that we needed to do. But it was really the 2009 H1N1 pandemic influenza or pandemic that got us rolling. We were charged with creating an information collection plan, which turned out to be a huge Excel file that had all the different, we had to, working with colleagues from CDC and FDA and ACF, we came together and came up with all these very specific decision points that we would want to follow for H1N1. So we wanted to look at adverse vaccine events. Well, people don't always want to share the exact details of that, so we had to come up with, well, when are you going to tell us about it? What kind of threshold is it going to meet? Are we going to hit on your end that you're going to then report up to ASPR? And so there were a lot, I think we had maybe 200 different data points across the federal specter that we were looking at, and that really got us started on thinking, we really need this thing now. They wanted stoplights that would tell us when this was going on and that wasn't going on, and we just weren't at all in the position to be able to do that. We started looking at SharePoint and different ways to tweak things, and it wasn't really happening for us. So I started thinking about it. We had all these ideas. I said, you know what, we need to whiteboard this. So this is what we came up with. We have a number of different data sources and measures being displayed with stoplights and bar graphs. And we gave this project the name of the Gobbler. It was around Thanksgiving. We had no idea how we should call it. So you guys have probably all seen pictures like this before. I thought about bringing the real thing, but then thought maybe that wouldn't really be that interesting anyway. So our requirements were not different from a lot of people's, although our environment is very different, and I'll compare what I believe to be a more typical SaaS EBI customer to be from us. But we needed all sorts of things. So we needed our automated capture, whether it be from a database. We have Oracle, we have SQL Server, from an Excel sheet that someone uploaded. We wanted our analyses canned, or at least certain ones of them canned, and the ability to make other ones on the fly so that we could have them readily available to our decision makers. That included the visualization. We needed this all to be web-based. They wanted to throw it up on our operations center wall so it would be in, they would say, real time. I think, to be honest, we have to come to terms with the near real time. They wanted alerts to go off when thresholds were met all over the place. We needed to be able to integrate it with our GIS platform called MedMap. I already told you about security sensitivities, which are certainly not special to our organization, and it needed to be incredibly flexible. Well, we had spoken to a number of vendors, and we're at the point where it was clear that we weren't going to get the huge amount of dollars that it may take to engage with those vendors. So we chose the expensive option of doing SaaS EBI. Why did we choose that option? One is that the National Institutes of Health already had licenses for it, so we didn't have to go out and engage a vendor in a totally separate manner. And actually, it turned out not to be so horrible when it came to pricing, when we compared all of the options and the fact that we were not going to be given the green light to do work with developers outside of the sort of more, shall we say, conservative realm. So that's what we chose. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about the SaaS customers. When we had our first engagement, we were working with a fellow who had just come from a casino. So here's the casino folks on the left and our people on the right. So you'll notice there's a few differences. One, they look like they're having a lot more fun. They're a little sexier. But casinos are dealing, they're looking at money. So the system is used to analyze money, millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And they're not necessarily looking, I don't know, I don't work at a casino, but they may not be looking at returns over the course of 12 hours, 6 hours, 24 hours. Financial institutions, which, I'll just plop them in there with casinos, work over much longer time spans. So you're looking at quarters. Because they have a lot of money, they are going to be able to invest in a huge amount of consulting hours in order to get all of this running. They're not necessarily going to need the in-house expertise within a small group. So on the right, we're a little more ramshackle. We work on a 24/7 operation, which casinos do as well, but with very different goals in mind. So we're counting people beans. I'm assuming they're counting more dollars, although if you use things for HR, then you're counting people. But in any case, very different customers, and we're the minority. So SaaS had never met a client like us who had our needs, our operations schedule. They probably wondered why we are emailing them at 5 in the morning, and that's because we were already up and running. So by the time they would get in touch with us at 9:30, we were tapping our fingers. So what did they have to offer here? Well, I'll split this into two sections of what kind of applications they have. There's web-based applications and there are client applications. So this is great. So we had this web capability to view our analyses online. Two of them, of the applications, can actually, in order to develop analyses either through dashboarding or through web reports, can actually be accessed online. So you can do all of that setting up of reports online. However, if you want to do your real data management, creating information maps, dealing with your metadata, all of that has to be done on a client application. So that's how it's split up. So let me tell you about our implementation phase. It took a while to get all this running. My organization, my specific group, the Fusion Cell, which is has a total of 4 people in it, we scrap for money at the end of the year. So we get budget dust. We finally grab some. That got us the initial license and 80 hours of consulting plus a few credits so that we could send one person to training. So I call phase one the time of naive enthusiasm, and that's where we were like little lambs. We were so excited. We had this opportunity after thinking about this gobbler, just dreaming about it for a while, and we had our consultant come, and boy, were we excited. Well, he wasn't so excited because we hadn't properly done our homework for getting everything together that we needed so that the consultant knew exactly what we wanted to get out of it. We told him we need everything. We need web reporting. We need automated data refresh and cleaning. We want all these alerts set up. We need the web version. We need the automatic emailing version. And he was about to tear his hair out because we wanted everything in 80 hours. They told us that was probably a pretty tall order, but that didn't bother us. We were feeling really hopeful. And when we got to the end of it and we went to demo what we had for our decision makers, they were, I would say they're a little underwhelmed. So that didn't stop us. We had another little engagement. We got some more consulting hours, and we really put on the heat for selling to our leadership how this was going to revolutionize how they did decision support, that we were going to bring in data from across the enterprise, they were going to be able to look at it live, they could do all this customization, and so we were really out there like used car salesmen trying to get some more cash in order to keep this going. And I would say it was a little bit on the rocks at that point. We did work with SAS to create another proof of concept for them, a demo version of analyses, and that seemed to do the trick. So we got a whole bunch of more hours, and we jumped in with those, which you would think would be really exciting, and it was, but it was also the time of great frustration because we ran into a lot of quirks in the install. Our system seemed, with everything that we did, to be very different than anything else that had our consultants had ever run into. And when I say everything seemed to be new, I literally mean almost everything from soup to nuts. My team, like I said, we're 4 people. We work together with a consultant. We work in a secured space in a SCIF, and it's a bullpen. And so we are literally all together for 3 to 4 months straight trying to solve all these problems that all kind of went back to the original install. And I have to say it was very challenging. I didn't get into the training part. I said we sent one person with the initial engagement. That person went in July. They really had nothing to do with the rest of our development after that. So in my group, we got trained. One person got trained in November, 2 of us in December, and 1 in January. And now we finally felt like we could get started here, because before that we had this huge thing. What we were told is this immensely powerful system, and we couldn't do anything with it, and it was extremely frustrating. It's sort of like if you've ever spent time in a community where they speak a language that's not your native language, you're starting to learn, you're so excited, you think you know something, and you're immersed in people using it on a daily basis, and you don't know what's going on. But we came through, and I'm going to demo what we have, and so now we're at the point where we've gotten to use our analyses and our EBI work in some field training exercises, and shown that we can bring in data, epidemiologic data, that we can bring in personnel data, that we can bring in hospital bed availability data. And you can bet that we're really like this bear that you can see on the screen where the stream of the river is going to pull us. We already know we're going to fall over the edge. So we'll wait and see what hurricanes make landfall, and then we'll really have the test. So that'll be very interesting. So I want to show you what we actually managed to accomplish. You guys are very quiet. So this is our login page. This is not where I want to start. Hold on. This is one of the tricks that we have, is that we get these X's sometimes. So I'm going to just do a refresh here. What I'm going to show you first is analyses that come from our epiologic data. It actually comes from our electronic medical record. So I have to give you a quick context for where this data comes from. During a response, our organization sends clinical personnel out into the field. They are required to maintain an electronic medical record that's all stored in Oracle database. It's uploaded from the field every 15 minutes. We then grab it, clean it every 10 minutes, and then display it. So this is our EMR report, and it's I'm going to show you how we use it. So right now we're looking at it through the portal. And you can see the first page of this report where we've taken our data and we've parsed it. This is actually from a field training exercise, so this isn't real patient data. And we've grouped the data by different age ranges. We've looked at it by different incoming acuity groupings. We also have diagnosis categories and locations where folks are actually being treated. Again, this is notional data. Now, I need to actually launch the report to show you the interactive part. This then moves us into Web Report Studio, which is a different application. Here I can choose which data I want. I'm going to choose a more exciting data set here. So we've set this up. This is really complicated in order to set up this choosing from these lists. Whoa, I think we... Let's see if they're saying anything interesting. Okay, I'm going to show you the Haiti earthquake data. We responded in early 2010 to the Haiti earthquake. We started seeing
your
patients...
Your passcode has been confirmed. If you need technical assistance during your call, please press star followed by zero. You are the first caller to this conference. Please wait while others join. After the tone, please state your name.
Who is it? Okay.
Thank you. There are one parties in conference, including you.
Okay, so this is where we're going to be a little more interactive. So is the Haiti? We went to Haiti. I'm just going to talk over them.
That's weird.
If you're online, could you please mute your line with star 6 or the mute button? Hello? Hello? Are you on the phone there?
There's no one.
Do they actually have a session?
Because I was just in there saying that I'm waiting for it.
Okay, I'm going to try talking over. Just let me know if you need me to repeat anything. This really should be interactive, so I'd like you guys to... I want to choose the Haiti data set just because it's really big. I'm going to show you what the limitations are to that data set, and then we can move to another one. We have patient encounter records for about 9,000 people from the earthquake. We saw people for about 6 weeks, and we have a really unique data set because we stayed for so long, and actually because we weren't there in that, really we weren't collecting patient data on that first week, which is where you'll see a lot of literature about that period. Okay, so all of these are done in time series, so you can see our data across the spectrum of the response. I don't think I can scroll that way. You can see here in the diagnosis category, there's no data. Why is that? Well, in the middle of the Deepwater Horizon response last summer, they switched from ICD-9 to ICD-10. In the ICD-10 setup, the data owners, which we got interrupted when I started to tell you, this data is owned by the National Disaster Medical System, by their chief medical officers group. My group does the analysis for decision support. We show some back to the CMO's group, but we also show it to leadership. So we're in sort of a weird position. We're not the data owners, but we consistently do EPI surveillance and reporting on their data. We can do post-processing, but we haven't gotten that far with the ICD-9 data. So it says no data because it's not ICD-10. We don't have our groupings put in here. We did it by hand during the response. So I'm not going to drill into there, but I'm going to drill in on the age because I can't get to the right side of this. So do we have any ideas about what age group would you like to see here? Would you like to look at more information on the under 2s, 2 to 17s, 18 to 65, or over 65? Anyone? First person to...
They might be finishing up the communication if they are just letting all your outcomes and stuff with you. Does that work for you?
This happens on our conference calls all the time.
Say bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, where was I? Do we have anyone who has a particular age group of interest here? No? Do you guys need a coffee break? Okay. Well, people love young folks. They like, let's look at our under twos and see what we saw there. So this will launch into another part of the report. You see that it's, I clicked on it and... Oh, actually, that doesn't get to the under twos. What that does is that gets us to our age, all of our analyses that we have in this report based on age. So now you can see this bar graph, or the bar graph again. You see a line graph version of the data over time. You see a total response graph, so you can see that 8% of our patient encounter records were for under twos. Why do I keep saying patient encounter records? Because we don't have a master patient index, so I can't tell you how many of these people came more than once. I don't have access to names. I can't do that matching. My group has 26 select fields. Is that a limitation? Sure is. However, each of these encounters is a opportunity for treatment, so in the sense that it would reflect our burn rate and our, you know, that it would be important for how we staff our sites, then I think that we're fine there. Also remember, this is for like on-the-fly decision support when we're activated, so some of the limitations that you would have in a research setting are not the same in operations. Now, our CDC colleague may disagree with me, but so we said we were going to look at under twos, so let's do that. Now, this is passing our request for under twos. That was a real doozy to learn. how to do. Oops, I can only do things from this graph. Sorry. So as you saw when I told you what the different applications were here, there's about, I would say, five that everyone in my group needs to be well-versed in. We have one person who does system administration, and the rest of us are all developers and users, four of us. So we have to use the SAS management console. We have to use Enterprise Guide, which is the point-and-click version of SAS, of base SAS. I don't see this coming up. And Web Report Studio, SAS BI Dashboard, and the information portal. So that's a pretty heavy lift, but we're getting there. Okay, so now I can see the under twos by gender breakdown over the time period for which we have records. Unfortunately, I told you we don't have diagnosis. And we have clinic location. So you can see here that we had this site, Pétionville, which saw the bulk of our patients up until February 1st. We then started to decrease our footprint as we started to transition care over to NGOs and local caregivers. Our job is not to take business away from those folks. And you can also see what our incoming acuity is. Point being, this is data from our EMR. We're viewing it in Web Report Studio, and so that's one of our reports. Okay, I'm going to show you another report from our EMR data, which is not set up for any data. Okay, that's the issue. So we only get data when we deploy. So right now we don't have any data. So when you're doing the development, you can never really see what's going on in real time unless you create I can't look at the prevalence over in real time because I don't have data that covers days 1, 3, or 7 from now. But so we've created these very basic tables here so that we can get some idea of what's going on. So what is smoke? This is our, I would say, event surveillance. So we have a number of events of interest. They all are pretty much infectious disease events, smallpox, measles, mumps, chickenpox, environmental exposures, those include oil exposures, for example. Our chief medical officer group had an interest in seeing fractures, mental health. So we have a list of these, which we then do a recode in order to see. I know that a lot of you probably do this stuff all the time. It was really new for us, so if I'm sitting here talking about stuff that you're like, yeah, recode. It was very exciting for us. We also have another data source, which is called RMS, and this is where data comes in about our different teams that go out. Looks like it's going to work. So this is using two of the applications. What's loading right now are things from the Business Intelligence Dashboard, and that's where you put in, have analyses on key performance indicators. Oh, dang. All right, well, that didn't work, and anyone know why out there? It was a Java issue. So here you go, one of the limitations. And it's not just for this demo, but we continuously have different users based on their platforms and what they have loaded issues. So sometimes the version of Java is too recent, actually, and we have to go back a version. So like I said, this data is coming in about, I'll show you it on a slide later, coming out about, okay, so this is what that screen would look like. I know that looks like a lot of different dials there. You might want to, other people might say, well, that's too many, really. You want to have just a few that really give you the beep. Our people don't want that. They want as many bells and whistles, as many of those dials as you could possibly fit on a page. So there you go. What is this telling our decision makers? It's telling them, based on which of our medical teams is on call this month, How full is their roster? So are they reporting if they have a requirement to have 35 staff on their roster in order to be sent out the door to Hurricane Irene, for example, response? What percentage of those slots are filled? If they only have two slots filled, they're not ready, they're not meeting their requirement to have that that staffing on a on-call month. So you can see that on the day that I took these screenshots that there were a number that were good, some that were not so good, but this team that's red is a training team, so that doesn't really matter. Then we have other teams that are also reflected here. So this is an example of how that data is coming through. There's also some tables that show you specifically what's missing. Okay, we also get, this comes from an Excel file about National Disaster Medical System hospitals and how many beds they have at any given report. This report is from July 7th, and it tells us that across the spectrum of all these different facilities that you can see here, this is a JPEG, although we do have interconnectivity with our GIS platform, you can see the bed availability. So this is using, again, this is using Web Report Studio, and this data is not refreshed automatically. It gets saved, I think, quarterly, monthly, I'm not exactly sure, as an Excel file, and it goes from there. Here's another. This is going to be coming in from another data source for personnel accountability. So people will be able to be tracked from the minute that they are on call all the way through their return back home, where they are in a response, whether they're sleeping or awake. In any case, this is just to show you what sort of things we've done. So let's get to... I wanted to show you a screenshot from our GIS interface. So like I said, we have a application called MedMap, and this is something that our responders and decision makers across the ESF8 community can access. And this comes from has a number of other data sources, but you can surface SAS EBI through it. So I could get certain analytics to show up on here, and what we're now doing is engaging both SAS and ESRI, which is the backbone of MedMap, to improve the connectivity so that you can look at data. You can choose a census track, for example, inside of MedMap and have analyses come through off of census track data that all gets analyzed through SAS. It's not going to then go back into MedMap because that's a whole another business. But that's actually more expensive than anything else that we've done. So challenges, we've had many. Technically, basically anything that could have gone wrong, I would say did go wrong. I think there's probably some SAS people in the audience here who might argue with that. But in any case, so there are tie-ins with MS Office. Those were issues, and that's something that our leadership, or we were really interested in for leadership, was here, you can click on this report, and it can go right into your PowerPoint, and then you don't have to ask us about anything. Well, none of our customers are really interested in making their own reports, coming up with their own dashboards, creating their own slide sets, so we get to do all of that. So we had a number of different technical issues. We needed a whole, and that wasn't a reinstall, but it basically was like a reinstall. What about the system? Well, I told you that there's a number of different applications that we need to use, and they have different degrees of robustness and ease of use. So like I said, it's been a pretty heavy lift. Some of us in my office are better at some applications than others, and I think in that sense we really balance each other out, but they were hard. And the other thing is that, you know, this is really made for dollars and cents, not for the kind of work that we're doing. So I think we're really stretching the capabilities. There's training issues. You need to get people up to speed. You have staff leave. You have staff come. I told you that we're always begging for money, so we have funding issues. Are we going to get that funding at the right time in order to get people to trained at the right time? That's a question. And what kind of training do you get when you don't have an organization that divides these tasks into four different groups or kinds of groups? Like I said, we have system admin, and then we have everyone else. And so we're really unique in that way. Operationally, we need 24-hour support. Technical support generally is not 24 hours, so they'll get back to you between 9 and 5. We have a lot of different data sources and different needs, so we work with people from clinicians, from doctors, to logisticians who have very different needs and understandings and very different business processes. And so there's a lot of great expectations for what we're doing, and we're not the owner of any data. So what are my conclusions? Well, you can use this off-the-shelf enterprise business intelligence solution for public health emergency and preparedness. Has it been easy? No, but we are pretty confident that we're going to be able to get this to work for us as best we can. Another thing is that if you're not a SaaS programmer and you get this stuff, you can survive it, but it's really great if you know SAS code so that you can go in and tweak like all of your data manipulation on the back end to create your final data sets and put them into the data mart. That's really a boon to be able to code. And also identifying the people who are really know your problem, who have worked through with you, and who are good to go, knowing who those people are and technical support and asking for them by name will be very helpful. So what are our next steps? We're going to keep adding data sources. They just keep throwing them at us. Oh, well, add this one, add that one. How is it coming? I don't care. Just get it in there. We are about to engage to create a more sophisticated dashboarding capability. You can see it's not the sexiest of looks that we have there, but we're getting by with what we have. The importance is that we can make decisions off of that, and we'll see what happens when we have our next full-blown response. I already told you we're working on the integration with the GIS component, and we're going to engage in system evaluation. We work on hurricane season schedule, so that will come after hurricane season. Just want to acknowledge everyone who's been a part of this project in my group at ASPR and as well at SAS. It's been it's been fun and challenging, and we've come a long way, and we look forward to seeing how we can make all this work. In the meantime, we'll just be working away in our airplane there. So thank you very much.
So we have time for a question or two. Any questions?
So the question for people in the webinars was about our alerting functionality and whether we've done anything. And I didn't show you the stuff that I'm personally working on for the event surveillance. Alerting, yes, we have alerting set up. So the way that you do it is through the dashboarding program, and you set different thresholds. That program I find to be a particular bear. But it does, we have some that we've gotten alerts. We have one for new deployment, for example. So whenever you see a new deployment name in the data set, send us an alert. And so we get that alert via email. We don't send it to decision makers. That one's for our internal notification. But for example, if someone was dead on arrival, for example, at one of our sites, we would want to know that. And so we would get set up that alert. Because of our business, we need to change things on the fly. It could be based on a count of one that we want the alert, so it's complicated, but we have it working. And I'd like to see it work to really develop that capability. That's the next on my personal list.